welcome to episode 6 of the Let's Talk TEFL podcast. I'm Jackie and joining me is Jennifer. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Jackie. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. Thanks.
All right. So let's jump right into talking about teaching writing. So
yes,
what's your experience with teaching writing, Jen?
Well, mainly I taught sort of higher level, higher level young learners. So fortunately, I only rarely had to teach beginning writing to, elementary school students. Usually it was upper elementary and students that had either been studying English fairly intensively or had actually lived overseas. So yeah, but it's still, yeah, teaching writing to kids is different from your experience, which was?
Oh yeah, for sure. So I worked at a university in Korea, two universities, but the second one I worked in the English department. So I taught a lot of academic writing, advanced academic writing for English majors in their like third or fourth year, or just right before they graduated. And those students were good at English, like good. It was a major university and one of the top ones in Busan, in a big city. So I taught like academic essay writing, which was actually so interesting. Like I had been teaching conversational English. And so when I first got academic writing to teach, I was intimidated a little bit. And so it kind of got a bad reputation as like, oh, it's so much like grading and like, checking essays and that kind of stuff, but I actually loved it. I love not talking about the weather and hobbies anymore. And it was just like, I actually felt like I was giving students like a skill they could take with them in their lives, like writing a thesis statement. And like, and even some of them said like, oh, even in my Korean classes, nobody had ever taught me how to write an essay before. And so some students would actually say like, I took everything you told me and I wrote this great essay in my like history class or whatever. And I got a really good grade and my professor said it was such a good essay. And like, I just felt satisfied. I was like, oh yeah, like I'm actually helping you with a skill for the future.
Yeah, I taught SAT writing in the like the holiday seasons for quite a few years. And yeah, the number of students who had not been taught to write an essay, and these were kids, a lot of them went to international schools, like not in Korea, like they were just in Korea for the holidays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so they went to school in English for the most part, but they had just never been taught how to write an essay. And to me, that was just crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think I first learned to write an essay about in third or fourth grade. You know, I mean, obviously it wasn't the same essay that, you know, a senior in English major would be writing, but you know, the five paragraph, you know, come up with a thesis statement and an introduction and then, you know, three paragraphs of evidence and then a summary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I found that quite strange too. I at first I thought that they would know like in Korean and it was just a matter of like helping them like translate that into English. But then I was like, oh, I'm actually starting at the beginning, which was fine. It was like, it was good. And I think every single student that left that class knew what a thesis statement was and a topic sentence. And I just felt like, okay, my job is done here. I hope you never forget when you're writing a paragraph, even it needs like a topic sentence to begin with and a whatever, then evidence. And so I hope I helped my students through. All right, Jen. So what's your first tip for teaching writing?
I think my first tip goes back to like teaching how to write an essay or whatever. And that is scaffolding with like sentence frames or templates. So showing students like if you're writing, an essay, in my opinion, blah, 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 or, my first reason for this is, and blah, blah, blah. And just show them that, there is a sort of a regular structure to you know, how their paragraph should be set up. And, you know, once they learn that, then they can learn how to not follow it, but not follow it correctly, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. You know, like you have to know the rules to break them, I guess.
For sure.
But also, yeah. I found with lower level students, you know, when you're just at the sentence level, the paragraph level, you know, that really is a confidence booster for them that like, oh, they just have to come up with a couple of words on their own and then they've got a whole sentence. So it's very similar, you know, at the most basic level, it's very similar to conversation dialogues in textbooks that have, you know, had one word or one phrase taken out, you know.
That leads so nicely into my point, the second point. I took the CELTA and we were talking about teaching writing. And my tutor said writing can be super simple. For beginners, it's writing down one word on a piece of paper. And that actually changed my attitude about writing, teaching writing. I just previously would kind of get overwhelmed. Oh, like teaching beginners how to write a paragraph or even a sentence seems like way too much. And like, they'll never get it. And like, it was kind of frustrating, I think, for me and them. But after my tutor said that, I was like, oh, yeah, I can give them a sentence with one or two words at the end that they have to like write something in. And that's teaching writing. Yeah, so it can be simple for beginners. It can be as simple as like something like you say a word and they write it down on a piece of paper, dictation exercise. It doesn't have to be super complicated. And of course, the higher levels, you will move into like sentence and paragraphs and finally like writing an entire essay or an entire newspaper article or whatever your genre is. But yeah, at the very basic level, it doesn't have to be more than writing down one or two words on a piece of paper.
Yeah, I think this is one of the situations where it's really helpful to think about your own language learning experience. You know, if you do have really low level students, think about how you felt in a high school language class. Like, how would you have felt if your teacher had just come in one day and was like, right, today's the day we're each going to write a 3-page article on something of interest to ourselves. You know, you probably would have suddenly felt really bad and needed to go to the office for a few minutes.
I know, for sure. If I knew that was coming up, I would have skipped that class for sure. Oh, yeah, it's overwhelming. So,
so, you know, keep it in perspective to what your student's actual level is and whatever they're capable of with speaking, like their writing is going to be lower, you know, because there's no room for error. It's right there in black and white. So you do need to sort of scale back whatever activities you have a little bit.
Plus the spelling factor and the punctuation factor. Those are things that students, even when I taught academic writing, like the highest levels, I would always have a punctuation class. It was surprising the number of students who maybe had just been never taught a formal lesson on it and had some like terrible habits. So so I would always do a lesson and help them out with that. And but lower level students like just straight up often don't know how to do punctuation in English. So it's worthwhile definitely explaining that or just being super clear about capital letters and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and of course teaching young learners, you know, I would have, you know, for a fair portion of a semester, the writing class would be focused on those sort of aspects, you know, getting your capital letter, you know, recognizing a proper noun and giving that a capital letter, using the correct punctuation at the end, you know, where to put your commas, that kind of thing. Never hurts to review, even if your students are higher level.
For sure, for sure. So what is our next tip, Jen?
So the next one is group or pair writing. So if, you know, you've moved beyond maybe dictation or having students with a very rigid sort of sentence frame activity, group or pair writing, I find, takes the stress off of the students. And also, you can either be a bit strategic and put the higher level students in a class in the same group and the lower level ones in the same group. And then you can spend your time more with like the lower level groups, or you can pair them so that a higher level and a lower level go together and the higher level one can do more of the heavy lifting, if you will. But group and pair writing, that, you know, there's, you know, a popular activity is to draw a picture, and then the next student sees that picture and they write a sentence, and then they fold over and hide the picture. And the next student sees that sentence and has to draw a picture, and they fold over and hide that sentence, and it just goes around. And it that can be quite fun to see where you end up. Or it can be a round robin activity where one student writes a sentence, or, you know, three sentences or a paragraph, whatever, depending on their level. And then they pass it to their partner or the next person in the group. And so they end up with one piece of writing per person in the group, but all of them have contributed to each one.
Yeah, I like doing stuff like that once in a while in my writing classes, just to mix things up. I would do some like group writing activities, and it was really fun. We always had a really good time reading the stories, or just reading what the people had created at the end of the activity.
Yes. Yeah. Sharing at the end is also fun. And students tend to be a little bit less shy about sharing group writing because it's not 100% theirs.
For sure.
You know, yeah. I feel like they're more shy about sharing something that they created all on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was my experience too. All right, so let's talk about the next one. So teacher versus peer versus self-editing. I mean, this is kind of maybe a little bit of a hot topic, and I anticipate some people disagreeing with me, but I'm going to share my opinion on this, and then I'll see what you think, Jen.
I can feel internet fingers warming up.
Getting ready to leave comments for us. Yes. So teacher editing, this is kind of the style that many teachers do. And my coworkers at the university, they're like, "Ooh, you have three academic writing classes this semester. Oh, you're not going to have like a social life." And I just thought, you know what? I'm not going to like spend 50 hours a week doing teacher editing. So I just avoided it. And it wasn't because I was lazy. It was because I genuinely thought that that wasn't super helpful for the students. And I'll get into that in a second. The other kind of model that people... Sure. And then the other model, or one of the other ones, is peer editing. So putting students into groups and getting them to do writing, and then like trading with a partner or like in a small group or whatever, analyzing each other's writing. And I didn't love that either, because I always thought it's kind of like the blind leading the blind. Like, can they really help each other? I don't know. Maybe not. In some cases, if there's like a whiz in the group, then yeah, of course. But if there's not, then it's like, you know, I don't want students giving each other wrong information and leading them down the wrong path.
I think you have to tailor what they're doing. Like if you're having them say, you know, this part was easy to understand, but I didn't really get this part, or I thought it was a boring story and could have used more adjectives or something like that, mm-hmm. then I think peer editing can work a lot better for a lot more levels. But certainly a lot of times students are just going to be passing off their favorite fossilized errors mm-hmm. onto another student.
Exactly. So the model that I used was teaching self-editing. So I would spend time teaching things like punctuation, or like doing references back instead of saying the man, you could say he and that guy and stuff like that. And making sure, like checking for the topic sentence and the thesis statement, and making sure that you have like evidence in each paragraph. And so I would give students a checklist, and we spent actually a lot of time going through the checklist and exactly what that means. And also things like subject verb agreement, like circling the verb, underlining the subject, something like that, making sure they match an agreement. So I taught them that, and the why I did that The reasoning is because I wanted to prepare students to go into the real world. So my thought is, if they're at a company and they're writing a business email to some customer or client or whatever, they're not going to have their teacher or their boss standing over their shoulder correcting their English. They're going to have to like write a decent email in English to whoever, and nobody's going to check it. But they're going to need to like self-monitor and self-edit. So I wasn't just lazy, but that was my opinion about like, okay, this is how I can actually prepare them for the real world. Yeah. And they can have this self-editing skill to take with them, because I won't always be there.
Right.
So I did give feedback on, I did over the course of the semester, I did two assignments, and then I did like the midterm and the final, and I would give them feedback on the assignments and the midterm exam. So it wasn't like they didn't get any feedback, and they were free to come to my office and get feedback as well. But yeah, I focused super, super heavily on self-editing, and yeah, I think with some good success for sure.
Yeah. I'll give my take. Sure. Teaching young learners, the consumer is really the parent. And so I literally, there would be times when I would go away for the weekend and I would have one or two tote bags full of journals that I would have to take with me to do on the train or the bus or whatever, because the mothers would go through the corrections with a fine-tooth comb. And literally they would compare with other mothers and they'd be like, you know, this student, you know, you wrote three sentences about how good their writing was, and my student only got two sentences. Mm. And of course, that's including, you know, also circling and correcting every mistake. Mm. And what I learned from that, which led me also to self-editing, was that the mothers would eat it up. They were there with, you know, a microscope going over every bit of red ink, but the students never looked at it. They might look at it and go, wow, there's a lot of red ink on that page, but that was it. You know, they certainly weren't taking on board any of the corrections, because they would then have the same thing over and over and over. Mm. So yeah, my thing with self-editing was, you're not paying attention to what I do, so you need to pay attention to what you do. And yeah, we would go through and I would give them a checklist, but again, there's always going to be students who just check down the checklist without even really reading it. So we would be, you know, work on the same piece of writing, you know, a few times, and it'd be like, okay, right now what everybody is doing is looking at their capital letters and their punctuation. Okay, this time I want everybody to go through and look at the noun you used and look at the verb you used and make sure they match in number. And this time I want you to make sure that if you use present tense verbs, then you always use present tense verbs. And if you use past tense verbs, you always use past tense verbs, and blah, 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 blah. And we would go through it just one thing at a time.
Yeah.
And that really helped a lot more than, you know, 1,000 red pens dying in vain.
Oh, you know what? I think that when that, like when I did teacher editing, I would only find errors that I'd seen like say 3 or 4 times over and over again. But like the one single little error, I wouldn't even bother with. And then at the end of their, you know, assignment or whatever, I would give them like 3 points, like pay attention to like these 3 things. And I think that was way more helpful than like circling. Yeah. Like the dying things. This is overwhelming and not that helpful. I think it's a waste of time too for the teacher.
It's a waste of teacher's time because, as I say, the students never looked at it, or at most they just would look at it and feel disheartened because there were so many mistakes. But like literally the only thing I was doing it for was, one, I was told to do it. And two, if I didn't do it, the school would get phone calls from the mothers. Mm. And I would just be like, you know, instead of calling and complaining, maybe you could show this to your kid and you know, maybe have them write it out correctly or something.
Yeah. Yeah. So it depends on the context for sure. I was like lucky enough to have freedom to do kind of whatever I wanted. And that's kind of the road I went down. So I'd be curious hearing what our listeners think about this. So for sure, get in touch and leave us a comment. And we'll maybe read it out on the next episode and see what people think about it. All right, Jen.
Yeah, because I definitely think that is a topic that everybody has a strong opinion on. Everybody who teaches writing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. All right. So what is your next tip, Jen?
My next tip is writing prompts. More than any other thing, well, I guess the only other thing that would be similar would be free talking or conversation class. But, you know, I don't have anything to write about is what you are going to hear so often. So if you do have some kind of writing class where the students are meant to be like free writing, which I have taught before, and it's a whole different animal from an essay writing class, I would have writing prompts. And if I was teaching like, you know, narrative writing or expository writing or whatever, it would be writing prompts that fit in with that. If it was, you know, lower level, it would be, you know, hobby or, you know, daily routine or how to make your favorite kind of sandwich or whatever. But I would always have something to spark their creativity. Mm. And, you know, sometimes I'd be like, feel free to write on whatever you want to write about. But if you have nothing to write about, please do not tell me. Please look at all these things I have put on the board. And that the things that I would put on the board, they might be photos or they might be topics or they might even be like a mind map kind of thing. You know, so it would just depend on what the writing lesson of the day was.
In my academic writing classes at the University in Korea, I actually incorporated some free writing time into my classes because the essay writing was focused on accuracy, like 100% on accuracy. But writing fluency is actually a thing that students need to work on. Sure, if you can write an essay, maybe a more practical example is if it takes you like 4 hours to write a quick business email, your boss is going to be like, what is going on right now? So like writing speed is definitely a thing. So I took the first 10 minutes of every class and students had a journal, the free writing journal. So I would give them just a topic of the day. You can just look up like writing prompt online and there's like a million topics. So I'd give them one and then just, I would tell them, okay, put away your dictionaries, put away your cell phone. Just write quickly. I said, the goal is to write quickly. Don't worry about so much about grammar. And then if they didn't know what to write, I said, I actually learned this at a co-teachable presentation. They would write, I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. I don't know what to write. And then eventually something will come to you. So you just write that out like, you know, three times or whatever. Then at the end of that, I would get them to track how many words on a chart they were writing each day. So a simple way to do that is in the first time you do it, get students to figure out how many the average number of words per line that they're writing. And then after that, it takes like, you know, 10 seconds for students to count up the lines. And so I said the goal is to like increase your speed over the course of the semester. And it was kind of fun. Students like kind of like the challenge of, oh, I'm going to try to write more quickly and I want my chart to go up. And then just at the end of the semester, I would just do a quick like flip through to make sure they'd actually done it and gave them, I don't know, like 10 points or whatever for just doing it. And that was a really worthwhile activity. And I would also write at the same time. I also had my journal. So
that's always important, sort of leading by example. If it's, you know, silent reading time or free writing time or whatever, if the students can see that the teacher is doing the same thing, they'll feel a little bit more guilty about staring at the wall.
Yes. And I wasn't like watching them. I was like doing my own thing. So I think that took the pressure off. Like they didn't feel stressed out about it. Like I was walking around the class seeing what they were doing. I wasn't. So it was just their time to like, you know, work on their writing in kind of like a low stress kind of way, I guess.
The writing fluency is pretty important. Like, as you say, in the real world, you know, you can't take 4 hours to write an email, but also, you know, there's so many tests that they may have to take depending on where they go with their English. And a lot of them have a timed writing element. So yeah, you do have to be able to put your thoughts together and put them on paper quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. At like a reasonable pace, most definitely. Yeah. Even for like native speakers, thinking your first language. Yeah, you want to be able to like write efficiently and just quickly. And yeah, you don't want to waste so much time writing a simple email or whatever. Yeah.
All right. What's next?
What's next? Okay, so the next one is if you have to evaluate writing, use a simple rubric. And explicitly tell the students what that rubric is and explain it so they understand it before they do their assignment.
Yes.
I think it can go horribly wrong if you tell students, okay, do this assignment and then just write and then I'm just going to give you a grade. And then it's like students are like, what? Like, I don't get it. Why did I?
Well, not just that, but it opens up the door for arguments.
Yeah, exactly.
About why did I get this grade?
Mm-hmm.
So if you can point to the elements on the rubric that have been clearly explained, then there are fewer avenues to argue.
For sure. So my simple rubric for academic writing, so this would be different for whatever assignment you have, but the first category is like the sentence, paragraphs, and kind of the format of it. Yeah, so I just want to make sure that students, it's like well organized, I guess.
Yeah.
And then the second one is their grammar, spelling, punctuation, and vocabulary. So I wasn't like super picky about it, but for sure, if they made very simple errors, like for example, they were in their fourth year of, you know, an English major at a university. So right. If they made errors with like, the simple past and like an irregular simple past verb or something, I was like, ooh, that's not good for a student at your level. Or like the vocabulary, I would for sure give bonus points or like a higher score in that category if students push themselves to use some more interesting vocabulary. My third one was the things that I spent like days talking about in class. So like the hook, thesis statement, topic sentences. I expected perfection in those because I had literally spent hours of my life, almost days of my life talking about those things. So I would literally just go through it and put a check mark like good, 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 good. And almost all students could get perfect points in that category. So it really helped them. But the one or two students that didn't have a thesis statement or something, I was like, oh, what's gone wrong here? And they would get very, very low points in that, or like no points in that category. And then finally, the final one was like task completion or the effect on the reader. So this was kind of just my overall impression. So this was the one that was like, was it convincing? Did they prove their point? Did they have good evidence or like kind of shaky evidence? That kind of thing. So I found that rubric to be super helpful and it helped speed up my grading considerably.
In fact, even though we're just talking about writing today, I will say anytime you have any kind of project with your students or presentation or even sort of a detailed homework assignment, a rubric is very helpful for you and for them.
Yeah, for sure. I love to have clear expectations and students know what they have to do to get, you know, the highest score or whatever. You don't have to do this if you don't have to give grades, but if you have to give grades, it's always good to have like, you know, some protection in case I also did it in case like the admin came and said like, hey, why did you fail this guy? Or like, what happened with this guy? And then I would say, well, here's his essay and here's how I graded it. And he knew he needed a thesis statement and he just didn't have one that kind of thing. So it protects you as well, for sure.
Yeah. But also on the flip side, like as a student, I always very much appreciated if a teacher or a professor would let us know in advance what the marking points were rather than, you know, just turn in something and hope for the best and then find out later that some things that you hadn't realized were important to them were vital.
Oh yeah, that's so demoralizing for sure.
Yeah.
A little bit tragic. All right. So I think that might bring us to the end of writing. Is there anything, Jen, that's important that we didn't cover that you can think of?
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, you know, writing is one of the main skills. So I'm sure we could talk for hours and hours and hours about writing. But yes. I think, it's always nice to kind of have a variety of activities for your students to practice their writing, just because it is sort of something that most students don't like to do in another language. But also, I don't know, like kind of do the same activities enough times that they know what's going on. You know, if you see what I'm saying, like shake things up enough to keep their interest up, but rein it in enough that they aren't, you know, sort of dealing with a new activity that's unfamiliar as well as a writing aspect.
Yeah, I like a nice balance between that for sure. Like the free writing time I had at the beginning of class every day, it was just the same and students knew what to expect and they just got out their journals. I didn't even have to tell them. They just knew what was going to happen. But then, yeah, doing some other kind of more, I don't know, like mixing things up a little bit for the last part of the class for sure. Yeah. So it's a balance, definitely. Yeah. All right. So if you want some ideas for teaching writing, I have a couple books on Amazon or Apple or wherever you like to buy books. So the first one is 49 ESL Writing Activities for Kids. And then the book for teenagers and adults is ESL Writing Activities, Games, and Teaching Tips. So yeah, have a look. And I think you'll find lots of useful stuff there. All right, Jennifer. So where can people find you online?
They can find me at teachtravellearn.com or on my YouTube channel, that is also called Teach Travel Learn.
If you want to find out more about the podcast or see all the old episodes and all of that, you can head over to eslactivity.org/podcast. And there's also a ton of like great games, teaching tips, ideas. I review all the online teaching companies. I talk about like teaching in various companies around the world. Yeah. So have a look at eslactivity.org and you'll find lots of good stuff there. All right. So I think that's about it. Thanks for tuning in, everyone. And we will catch you in a couple weeks.